And welcome, friends, to this, the Wednesday morning edition of the Grace Hour. Once again, broadcasting live here from our upgraded studios. As you can see, those of you that are tuning in this morning and watching us live, the studio has been upgraded. I don't know if we can say the same thing for the hosts, but we're grateful to be with you this morning. Thank you so much for joining us. This is the Grace Hour that you're listening to live, and this is the broadcast that allows you, the listeners, to dive in and helps you learn a little bit more about your faith and the challenges that you face in your faith on a daily basis. We want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we've got a wonderful theme that we are talking about, discussing this week. It has to do with principalities and powers that Ephesians, the sixth chapter, speaks about more specifically, or more generally, we might say, talking about spiritual warfare live right here on the Grace Hour. We want to remind you that during the broadcast, the phone lines will remain open, which means you can join us live on the broadcast simply by picking up a phone, dialing one of the following numbers. Toll-free in all of North America, 800-338-7060. Again, you can dial that number anywhere in North America. And if you're joining us locally here in the Baltimore area, friends, you could join us by dialing 410-483-3700. My name is Pastor John Love. Joining me in the studio, as we typically get together, our duo on Wednesday mornings, Pastor Barry Quirk, and we're grateful for this opportunity to come into your lives, your homes, your automobiles, wherever you may be tuning in and listening to the Grace Hour. We certainly do appreciate it. And again, our theme, principalities and powers. Today, Pastor Barry, we're speaking specifically from Ephesians, the sixth chapter, the 12th verse, and hopefully answering the question, what are principalities and powers? And as you read that sixth chapter in the book of Ephesians, I think you could say to all believers, you're in the army now. You're in God's army. Spiritual warfare is a reality, not necessarily acknowledged by every believer, but I think it's safe for us to say, it's real. We've understood it. We've been a part of this warfare for a number of years. And it's something that you really can't overlook. In other words, if there were a war and you were representing your country and you didn't want to participate in that war, well, I guess you could say, I don't want to get involved. I have a peaceful frame of mind. I'm going to be a conscientious war objector.
Right.
And I think that there may be a lot of believers today that are, spiritually speaking, conscientious spiritual war objectors.
Yeah, and like it or not, we're faced with that battle on a daily basis, and the being in the Lord's army is it's a pretty awesome privilege, actually, especially when the battle is His and we don't have to worry so much about the battle being our own. The general term principalities and powers, as we're talking about Ephesians chapter 6 here, there are references throughout. I think there's main six portions that are kind of the main references of principalities and powers, and most of them do refer to demonic opposition. There are a couple that refer to spiritual authority in the heavenlies, and even some that are kind of earthly. But here, really, the thought is that beings that wield power in the unseen that oppose everything and everyone that is God's. And I would say, sitting on the sidelines and being a conscientious objector, when the armies of the enemy are coming against the armies of the Lord, puts us in a pretty tough spot, you know, like the morose spot.
Yeah, you're going to be a victim. If you don't acknowledge the nature of spiritual warfare, and then, in all practical intents and purposes, armor up and be prepared so that you're not victimized. I think of what Paul wrote to the Corinthians when he reminded them that we cannot afford to be ignorant of his devices. There is a strategy behind spiritual warfare that the enemy uses, so we need to be prepared. We have to use our spiritual intelligence.
Yeah.
To guide us through this spiritual warfare. I think as a premise, we know as believers we have three great enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world, that relates to this system around us that's opposed to God.
Yeah.
And I think that that's important for us to remember. And it compromises, or comprises rather, of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. The Apostle John wrote about that in 1 John chapter 2. It's almost as if you could sum it up by this phrase. The world is society apart from God.
Mm.
Society without God.
Yeah.
And then you have the flesh, which is the old sin nature that everyone inherits from Adam. You know, this is a nature also that is opposed to God and unable to do anything, spiritually speaking, that can know God or please God, which is why Jesus put such an emphasis and why we put such an emphasis on the fact that you must be born again.
Yeah.
Because if you're not born of God, you're not a part of this spiritual conflict, except that you're already under the control of the God of this world. And as Jesus said to those in the world without him and refused or rejected him, you are of your father, the devil.
Mm.
I mean, those are strong words.
They are.
Those are offensive words.
Yeah.
Jesus used them because of the truth behind them. So it's important for us to acknowledge them as well.
Yeah.
And then, of course, that third great enemy is the devil, Satan himself.
Yeah. And, you know, it's amazing that we read in John 10:10, right, that the thief comes to kill and to steal and to destroy, but our Father comes to give us life, and that life more abundantly. And when you think about our purpose in life, right, how many believers miss why they're here on earth? And we could say, you know, that I'm here on earth to have a good life. I'm here on earth to make a name for myself. I'm here on earth to build a legacy that I can pass on. But I wonder how many of us realize that we're here on earth as missionaries, in a sense that God has given us a commission to seek and to save that which is lost, to go and to make disciples. And the devil also has a mission, and his mission is to separate us from our mission or our calling. And interestingly enough, he does that very blatantly, you know, like a roaring lion that seeketh whom he may devour. But he also does it like the little foxes in Song of Solomon 2, where he says, you know, take us the foxes, the little foxes that would come in and steal the fruit off of the vines. So we might have the overt attack, we might have the subtle attack. Either way, it's an orchestrated attack to steal from us what God has given to us. And then the most incredible thing about it is that it's all done in an angel of light. We will talk a little bit about deception later on, how the devil deceives us, but in a way that makes it seem like it's not what it appears to be. And we are just saying, my gosh, we're in the battle. It's been made obvious to us what happens. And actually in Colossians chapter 2, I believe it's verse 15, it says, verse 15, that having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. So if we don't get in the army, if we're not on board, then we don't even understand that we've been made victors already. And we live in the deception that the devil has some trap over us. And then how about this saying, the devil made me do it?
Yeah, popularized a few decades ago. Yes. By the comedian Flip Wilson.
Yes.
Who most of the people listening today don't remember or don't even know or have never heard of.
Yeah.
It is crucial. It's crucial that we understand that we do not fight for victory,
mm-hmm.
but we fight from victory.
Excellent point.
That's so crucial for us as believers to understand, because I think the whole idea of warfare is frightening to a lot of believers.
Sure.
And some think, you know, I don't want to get involved in that. But yet, how important is it that we understand and acknowledge the nature of our great spiritual enemy, Satan, the devil, Lucifer? He has so many different names and so many different yeah. explanations of his names. But we need to acknowledge that. And I like to think that as believers that understand the finished work and recognize that we are, you know, involved in this warfare from the position of strength,
yeah.
from the position of victory, that we don't get so overly obsessed about the devil.
Yes.
And yet at the same time, refuse to even acknowledge his existence. There's a delicate balance there that we have to strike, where we acknowledge him and we acknowledge what he is able to do in the life or toward the life of the believer, as opposed to saying, I'm not even going to give him any credence whatsoever.
Yeah, and that's such a good point. I think we have to understand the strategies of our enemy. We don't have to give him credence. There are very many limitations that God has put on the devil by his own blood that, you know, he can attack us in the sense that he can send people to oppose us. He can send the world to oppose us. He can send our own flesh to oppose us. But he does not have the ultimate authority in our lives. And I think that's something that we have to remember, that he does not have the ultimate authority. He would like us to believe that. He tells us half-truths. You know, you think about what he said to Eve in the garden. Did God not, in Genesis 3, did God not say that you could eat of any of the trees in the garden? Well, he did, but there was the one caveat that don't eat of that tree. And he failed to mention that part. Just enough truth to get us to be misled. So I do like that thought, Pastor Love, that we're conscious of the enemy. We're respectful of his tactics in the sense that we know our limitations in our flesh. But we also do not give him unnecessary prevalence in our lives. We don't give him the props that he would like to have in our lives. And, you know, as I was saying, the devil made me do it. It's such a convenient way of saying that the devil's power is greater than that which is in me, which we know is directly contrary to Scripture.
Yeah, which is, again, John brings it out in his epistle, and something that we need to remind ourselves often about. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the
yeah.
world.
Yeah.
And of course, he is the ruler of this present world system. So yes. often you hear believers say, you know, God's in charge of this world. Well, in a sovereign way, God is in charge of everything.
Yes.
And I like what you said when it comes to the devil. He doesn't possess the same attributes as God possesses.
Right.
So he is limited. Now, he has his helpers, these spiritual forces, these demonic creatures. He has helpers. He has a system. He has a coordinated effort, to be sure, but he does not possess the power that God possesses.
Yeah.
And under his present freedom, he is out to wreak havoc in the lives of believers and to keep unbelievers in their spiritual darkness so that they never come to that saving knowledge of who Christ is.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the mission of the devil, you know, some of the titles give credence to what he does and or explain to us what he does. You know, he's the tempter in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3:5. He's the wicked one in Matthew chapter 13. He's the accuser of the brethren. You know, how many of us have sat and listened to what the devil says? I remember there's a Shane and Shane song that talks about this, and it says, you know, that the father of lies is speaking about me, and he's telling the truth that I'm weak and I'm frail and I've gone astray, but he's forgotten the refrain, and that refrain is Jesus saves. So, yeah, sure, the devil has a ministry. The devil tells the truth about us sometimes and about how weak and fleshly we are, but the beautiful thing is it's not our strength that is the standard. It's salvation through Christ on the cross and the blood of Christ that delivers us.
Amen. Some great thoughts to get the broadcast started on this Wednesday morning edition of the Grace Hour. Thank you so much for joining us. And we want you to know that you can participate in the broadcast. We can take your phone calls live on this Wednesday edition of the Grace Hour. Here are the numbers. Toll free in all of North America. Again, 800-338-7060. And if you're listening locally in the Baltimore area, we invite you to join us by dialing the local number, 410-483-3700. And a couple of the folks that are listening and watching today, they enjoy the new look here in our Grace Hour studios. I want to say, good work to those that put the new studio together. It does look outstanding, and the improvements will continue to come your way. We want to thank you, though, for, of course, participating in the broadcast, viewing our daily broadcasts, and sharing your thoughts with us, because you really drive the broadcast, and without you, we'd just be talking to each other.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think they looked it around, and they said, we got to put some new wineskins, because, you know, this new wine in the old wineskins isn't going to work, right?
That's right, so. That's right. I like it. Friends, take that opportunity to join us live with a comment, a question, dialing one of those numbers that we just gave you a moment ago, or join our chat. We'd love to have you weigh in, talk about this all-important theme. When it comes to our great spiritual enemy, in warfare, intelligence, the intelligence corps plays a vital role because it enables officers to know and to understand their enemy.
Yeah.
And that's so crucial, isn't it? I mean, again, not in an overly obsessive way. And I have to say, Pastor Barry, that I you know, had someone who was involved in discipling my life as a young believer. And I could sense early on that he was a little bit overly obsessed about the devil.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you know, after the discipling continued for a number of weeks and months, I started to pick up on the fact that he wanted to talk more about the devil than he did wanted to talk about God.
Yeah.
He wanted to talk about how the devil operates than he did wanted to talk about the promises of God.
Mm-hmm.
And it eventually kind of caught up with him. And he kind of went in a little bit of a temporal tailspin, thank God. Mm-hmm. And God, you know, redeemed him out of it. But that can happen in the lives of believers. I mean, to know our enemy, to understand his strategy, and to be able to prepare ourselves so that we can confront that strategy with a divine strategy is all important. But again, that over obsession regarding our enemy is just not healthy for the believer.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, God calls a false balance an abomination, right? And we could be so concerned with something that the devil, how about this thought? The devil does not care about being the most evil just so that he can promote evil. He'll promote good if it draws somebody away from God. So, you know, whatever tactic he uses, even us being overoccupied with who we believe his character to be, is perfectly fine with him because it's still accomplishing his goal, which is to draw us away from who we are in Jesus Christ, take away the authority that we have in Christ, and the victory and the peace that we have from the fact that he's rescued us from the thralls of the devil. So he's happy. He's happy when we do that. And you're absolutely right. Military intelligence tells us what we need to do to know about our enemy, but to be prepared so that we can wage a victory, not so that we can be living in fear, not so that we can be perplexed, but that we can recognize that we have been given strengths to overcome that enemy of ours, and that God would be blessed to have us have fellowship with him in that and to learn how to overcome the enemy on a regular basis. Flee youthful lusts, right? Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. All of these things that God has equipped us with, the devil would love for us to not be aware of, but only be aware of the difficulties that he provides for us.
Yeah, to keep acknowledging those divine resources, who God is, what he's done, all of those promises that he's given to us to live life like overcomers, all of that is just so crucial. Because oftentimes you'll find a lot of believers, and you see them caught up in warfare, but the warfare is against other believers.
Yeah.
They're battling each other. And I remember reading about an admiral whose name I can't recall on his ship, and there were two officers that were fighting each other until the admiral just stepped in and he pointed them both out to the ocean and said, "You guys are not the enemy. The enemy is out there."
Mm.
And I think it's so important for believers to recognize that this is a battle which does not involve flesh and blood.
Mm.
Now, there may be times where flesh and blood can be instigated by these spiritual forces, but we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. This battle is against principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. And again, that's, well, Paul said it this way, we cannot afford to look at the things which are only seen.
Mm-hmm.
We have to look at the things which are not seen. The things which are seen, temporal. The things which are not seen, these things are eternal. So we're talking about something that's more real than what we can see, more real than flesh and blood.
Absolutely, and it's been defined for us over and over in the Bible about the reality of what our enemy is. And you know, that's such an awesome point to think that we could be in the midst of a battle, you know, for our lives, for the souls of people going to hell. We have the solution for man's biggest needs, right? For security, for significance, they come through a relationship with Christ. And the devil loves it when we're preoccupied with ourselves or we're preoccupied with preserving ourselves. I could argue with somebody. I'm in the battle. You know, we have a campus here. and the campus has many departments. Could you imagine if each department only was concerned about themselves? The whole reason it works is that it's an organism, not just an organization. And that organism has one sole purpose, and that's to bring glory to God and stewardship in the areas we've been given over certain departments on the campus. So if we start losing that sight, that vision, who we are in Christ, what the purpose of God is in the whole picture, then we're going to be little cells that are going to be fighting against each other and devouring each other. And really, that's what cancer is, right? Yeah. It's attacking the health of the body. And the devil loves that. That just gives more credence to his plan, which is divisiveness and to take us away from who we are in Christ.
Which seems to be his ultimate goal of his entire, you know, organized system. And we should note that when you read Ephesians in the sixth chapter and talks about these principalities and powers, this is an organized force.
Yes.
Satan leads these forces, but you know, he's got a lot of help, so to speak, right? I mean, he's the great tempter, as you pointed out. He's the great adversary. Mm-hmm. He has those two different manifestations, the roaring lion manifestation and then the angel of light manifestation.
Yeah.
So to discern that is so critical. And he has helpers, and they are the principalities, the powers, and the rulers. And I like the way one translation says it. The Williams translation, it says, "For our contest is not with human foes alone, but with rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers of this dark world." Mm. That is with the spirit forces of evil challenging each one of us in this heavenly contest.
Yep.
That's a good way to describe it. But this is our reality in this world as believers. And then, of course, with his helpers, he has these abilities. He is a strong enemy. And none of us should underestimate what he is capable of doing. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to ask you a question, because this is a question often asked. Can a believer be possessed by the devil?
Mm. Yeah, no, we don't believe he can. We believe he can be oppressed by the devil. He can be influenced by the devil. One of the great things that the devil does, great in the sense of his continual pounding us with it, is that he deceives us into thinking that he has authority in our lives that he doesn't. But we know that the blood of Jesus Christ has made us free from the law of sin and death. And we know that the blood of Jesus Christ protects us from being occupied by the devil. You know, we are occupied with Christ. Those two things cannot occupy the same household. But wouldn't the devil love for us to believe that, you know, he could possess us, he could control us, he could make us do things that we don't want to do? No, we have the Holy Spirit occupying our souls. We have been sealed with the Holy Spirit, and we have that as our guiding force. Doesn't mean that the attacks of the enemy are going to be non-existent. They are existent. Paul had his thorn in the flesh. Job was given as an example to face the attacks of the devil, but ultimately to reveal who God was in the big picture and how he would bless him in the end of that story. How about this also, Pastor Love, in conjunction with that, is that Colossians 1:16 says, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him." So even the fact that we have enemies that are allowed to operate in a certain way, that's right, is because God allows it to happen. And God allows us to be used as an example of his power to overcome the devil, as a demonstration of what has already been overcome. And just a beautiful picture of his authority and his strength. So, no, you know, we don't have to walk around living in fear that the devil can take something that's not his to take. God's given us a new life, and that life is sealed in him.
That's such a comforting thought. As somebody once said that, you know, the devil is God's errand boy, and he always will be.
Yes.
Because he only exists, and God allows him to exist, under his present freedom to fulfill the purpose of God.
Yeah.
And that's incredible. I mean, even Paul would go so far when addressing the Corinthians that there was some that were living in such great sin that he would even suggest that they should be delivered unto Satan for the destruction of their flesh so that their spirit might be saved.
Yeah.
In other words, that sounds like God borrowing the devil to fulfill his discipline and his disciplinary purpose in the lives of his children.
Mm.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
But I think we do find great comfort, especially when we read the book of Revelation, that, you know, clearly we read words like this, phrases like this, and it was given unto him.
Yes.
And it was given unto him. What does that tell us except the fact that the devil is on a leash?
Mm-hmm.
And we take great comfort knowing who holds the end of that leash.
Yeah.
It's God himself.
Yeah. Can you imagine the picture on the cross when the demons are rejoicing that they have crucified the Christ, the King of the Jews, the one who was going to bring salvation to the world has been killed, and they have, you know, they have won the ultimate victory, and they are dancing, and a party must have been going on in the demonic atmosphere. And yet when resurrection happens, he's, you know, the picture of Christ kicking the demons away as he's ascending into heaven. Just an incredible optic when we consider how God operates. You know, sometimes things appear, though, they are going astray, or they're going, and in the big picture, God always uses, he doesn't promote sin, he doesn't promote failure, but he sure can use the results of it to bring glory to himself in a resurrection life way, and in a manner that really is edifying to all of us.
Amen to that. Yeah. Again, friends, the phone lines are open, and if you feel led to pick up that phone and dial one of these numbers, please do so. We'd love to have you join us live on the broadcast today. 800-338-7060, that's a toll-free number. And if you're anywhere in North America, Canada, the United States, on the continent, give us a call. And if you're local in the Baltimore area and you're listening to the broadcast today, we encourage you to give us a call at 410-483-3700. Yes, I think we're striking a good balance here because we are, you know, revealing the fact, as the scriptures clearly do, that we have a great spiritual enemy, and we shouldn't ever underestimate his power.
Yes.
We don't want to just simply pass him off as somewhat of a, you know, a pain in the neck and a troublesome spiritual force that is resisting us in our faith. No, he can, again, in the case of Job, and you mentioned that earlier, he was used to bring physical affliction in the life of Job.
Yes.
I mean, with God's permission, of course, but nevertheless, he was able to do that, and clearly he is able to trouble believers' lives. So to be outfitted with the whole armor of God is so essential, isn't it? I mean, we do have to put on the armor of God on a daily basis, on a moment-by-moment basis.
Yeah, absolutely. Paul tells us to arm ourselves with things that will prepare us for the spiritual battle that we're part of in the Christian life. And as you mentioned, by putting on the whole armor of God, Ephesians 6:11, so that we can be prepared for the schemes of the devil. The armor includes truth. It includes righteousness, the gospel, faith, salvation, the word of God, prayer. You know, how many of those things are dependent upon me and my flesh? You know, but God tells us to be equipped. He gives us the opportunity to be equipped with those things, but I'm not the origin. And we had such a great weekend here with Pastor Schaller in the New Year's service where, you know, we spoke about answered prayer and just the faithfulness of God to answer prayer, but also where the strength of a man comes from and where who man is in the picture is not that we are the origin of things. We are the target for his grace, and we are the target for his blessing and benefit. And these are things that we put on. The battle's already been won, but we are allowed to enter into that battle as a victor. And yes, the attacks come. Sometimes the flesh is wounded. Sometimes we go through troubles, and we're not saying by any stretch of the imagination that somebody who's going through something difficult in their lives, as Job did, that they're not godly. You know, we heard Job's friends describe who he was, but we know that there's a bigger picture than that. And the bigger picture is that God wants to bring glory to himself and demonstrate it in the life of the believer. And in the big picture, we end up getting blessed doubly for what we went through.
Amen to that. Well, we do have a caller joining us live on the broadcast today. It's Kevin, and he's joining us from the Baltimore area. And Kevin, welcome to the broadcast. What are your thoughts? Oh, we're having some technical difficulties. And
Kevin's in a helicopter, apparently.
It sounds like it. That doesn't surprise us because, again, friends, we ask that you'd be patient with us because we are in a, well, the studio has been renovated and all of the equipment has been tampered with, tested, and we still have to prove it. So we do apologize for that. So hopefully we can right the ship here in the next during the next broadcast, which is coming up a little less than 24 hours from now, and we'll get things online. Do we have Kevin, or are we still having some technical problems? Kevin, are you there? Can you hear us? Yeah, we can't get him through. So again, we'll work through those minor difficulties, and all of the crack technicians here at the Grace Hour will remedy those problems so we can get online and get things together by tomorrow's broadcast. So for those of you that are trying to reach us by phone, we do apologize, and we'll get that taken care of as soon as possible.
Yeah. Hey, so Pastor,
must be the devil.
We have opposition, that's for sure.
Yeah.
What do you think some of the ultimate goals of this principalities and powers, this organized system? We mentioned earlier that Satan's goal has always been to steal the affections of God, from mankind, for man to not realize who he is in Christ is huge. In some cases they would say the devil doesn't exist. Don't believe in the devil. Just believe in God. And we're not saying that. We're saying, no, the devil exists. The devil has a purpose. The devil has a plan. There's an organized strategy of the devil. What is that organized strategy for the average believer in his daily walk? What do you think it is?
Well, I think one of the thoughts that you mentioned earlier regarding his name, the name, the devil, it means the accuser.
Yes.
And that particular ministry, if we can say such a thing, that he has and directs it towards the believer, is the hope that we will begin to see ourselves according to our sin,
yeah,
our failure, our trouble. Another great tool that he so effectively uses, apart from his ministry of accusing God's people day and night, which he does,
yes,
in Revelation 12:10, is discouragement. Mm-hmm. He uses discouragement in such a profound way that if he could, he would take the believer from being discouraged, lead him into depression,
yes,
and ultimately push him towards the brink of despair. Mm. And he can use these tools that he has available so that, again, he'll get us so preoccupied with ourselves, our trouble, our sin, our failure, how we see ourselves outside of the way God sees us, that we will be so disillusioned that we'll actually lose hope.
Yeah, that's awesome. What a great answer. People tend to think that if we don't express strength in areas of our lives that we're weak, when actually being weak but allowing Christ's strength to be produced in us actually makes us quite strong. And I think the devil would love to lie to us and tell us that we need to build ourselves up into something that we're not meant to be. We could become arrogant, we could become proud. Even people who have start out in their lives with God's heart and God's mind for their lives can end up getting deceived. Can the devil control that believer? He can't control them, but he sure can get them preoccupied with something that's not God's, and we lose our first love, right?
Yeah.
So I think recognizing that the battle's already been won, that we are more than conquerors, and this is really, and actually I think next week there's going to be a series of Grace Hour broadcasts on anxiety and on
mental health
and mm-hmm. things, and these are, it's reality. I know. If you lose sleep, if for some reason you haven't slept and you have a hard time falling asleep, and then your thoughts preoccupy you, and then you can get wrapped up into some kind of anxiety, and the anxiety really tends to exaggerate, the strengths of the devil in our lives, and it's easy to forget you know, we forget the refrain, and that is that Jesus saves, and the peace that passes understanding that comes from the Father. And, you know, I recognize that in those moments when you're living in anxiety, sometimes you don't, it's not easy to flip the switch and to enter into the rest of God, but that's really where he draws us to. And all of that drawing into himself, you know, is combated by the devil trying to divide us, as you said, to divide us from each other, yes, to divide us from who we are in Christ. And recognizing that strategy will help us prevent that from being allowed to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it all begins with getting the believer to start to think outside of what God and God's thoughts are.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. I mean, he tried it with Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, why don't you, because you are hungry, legitimately so, take these stones and turn them to bread?
Yes.
Now, how did Jesus respond to the tempter? He said, man cannot live by bread alone. It takes every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Yeah. So the moment we begin to think outside of every word of God, that's the moment that we open that door. And I like the way Martin Luther described it. He says, you know, the devil can't make you think anything.
Mm.
You know, he can project a thought, but then we decide to grab that thought, to run with it. You know, he also said that you can't stop the devil from flying around your head, but you can certainly draw the line when he wants to make a nest in your hair.
Wow.
And that's so crucial. I think that's critical.
Yes.
We have to say, okay, this thought may be projected from the devil, but I'm not taking it.
Yes.
I'm rejecting it.
Yes.
And I'm going to learn to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Very good point. The devil's, one of the strategies of the devil is to wear down the saints.
Absolutely.
And he can wear us down with a projection, with a thought, with the fiery darts, with all of those things to tell us. And actually, there's this principle, it's called somnambulism, and it's like sleepwalking, right? It's don't have a lot of time to get into it, but basically that he will tell you something as a lie. And if you believe it long enough, that you'll actually operate in it. And
yes,
your subconscious, you believe that that lie is actually truth. And you start to operate as though that lie is truth. So you're literally sleepwalking through your life, believing something to be true about yourself that is not. And it takes a lot for us to be able to let the Lord clean that out and to let him, you know, we heard at the time of our trials here in Baltimore, a lot of times there was like half of a truth stuffed into a lie traveling around the beltway, you know, before God's even getting his boots on. The devil's strategy is just to run around and to project lies, and people actually believe those lies. And before long, they are actually affected by that lie and they operate as though that lie is true. No, I love this picture that, you know, you could grow up thinking you're ugly. You could be the most beautiful person on the face of the earth, but if you've been told enough you're ugly, you're going to react in a way that you're ugly.
That's right.
Right. But when the truth is finally revealed, there's a liberty that happens, and you realize I've been living in this lie that the devil's been projecting about me, and the truth is I am his beloved and he is mine.
Wow. Amen. Let's go back to the phones. Let's try once again to connect with Kevin. We might have worked through our technical difficulties. Kevin, can you hear us? Are you there? And if you are, welcome to the Grace Hour. Okay, still
in the helicopter.
Still in the helicopter. We apologize for that.
I don't know if you can hear that sound, but it sounds like he's flying overhead in a helicopter.
That's right. Well, we're going to wrap up today's broadcast, friends. We do apologize. We got a little bit of a late start today, and that's because we're in the upgraded studio, and we are working through all of the potential technical difficulties. We hope that you like the new look. I think many of you have weighed in and shared how much you do enjoy it. We hope you enjoyed the broadcast today, and we hope that it sheds some more light on, you know, what principalities and powers are. But again, we want to emphasize this great and all-important principle that we understand that we fight from victory.
Yes.
We are not fighting for victory. I think that goes without saying, but it needs to be reiterated, because we can sometimes think, hey, if I don't get involved in this battle and win this fight, I'm going to lose. You're never going to lose as a believer. You're in Christ, and because you're in Christ, he's the one that's always going to cause you to triumph.
Yeah, amen. We can't accentuate that enough, what you just said, that we don't fight you know, for the victory. We fight from the victory. He's already made us to be conquerors. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. And that applies to every area. We've run out of time, but some people have asked some questions about, you know, suicide and things like that, and how does this affect, you know, the deception that affects the mind of a person who could believe a lie and be taken to a point of despair, as you mentioned earlier, and slips down a slippery slope into no hope, is still fighting for the victory. Yeah. But we really need to recognize that we are fighting from the place where Christ has already accomplished everything that we need, including falling into his arms, recognizing if we need help, putting ourselves in a place where we can get proper counsel and encouragement and trust the Lord God with all our hearts. And we can be developed and be strengthened in the areas that we need to know that would protect us from making decisions that would take us out of the race, both spiritually and physically.
Amen. And for those of you that maybe feel like that you're kind of falling down that slippery slope, remember, underneath are his everlasting arms. Mm. And God's going to catch you. And he's been doing it forever in relationship to his people. And he's never dropped one of us. And he never has an intention to do that. He's going to be there. He's for you. He's not against you. And if God is for you, then who can be against us?
Yeah. Amen.
So thanks so much for joining us. We do want to remind our listeners in the greater Baltimore area that tonight's our midweek service right here at the Greater Grace World Outreach. The service begins promptly at 7 p.m. We're located at 6025 Moravia Park Drive right here in Baltimore. And we encourage you to come out tonight. And we'll share some great thoughts with you tonight about what it means to live by every word that comes forth out of God's mouth. Until tomorrow, at the same time, friends, we'll be back for the Thursday edition of the Grace Hour. We hope you'll plan to join us then. But until then, may God bless you.